Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, last week, Pastor Ruth was teaching, but a week before that, we were teaching on the spirit and power of life that every believer should be walking in. Hallelujah. Right? You know, we want to know about the Holy Spirit. We want to, you know, go deeper into understanding the Holy Spirit. We need to be conscious of the Holy Spirit, how He is in us right now, in Jesus' name. We also spoke about the anointing. We don't need any more. We've already been anointed. We spoke about the giftings of the Holy Spirit. It's already yours. Hallelujah. You got everything inside. You have access to all the benefits of the Spirit of God. Amen. And we're talking about the sevenfold ministry of the Spirit of God. And it represents the perfect work of Holy Spirit. And that is the perfect work that is working in and through us every single day. And what the Holy Spirit does, He reveals, right? He saves, He transforms, He empowers, He guides. Amen. And He does that for all of us, so that we can mature in His Word. So this morning we're going to examine, 2 weeks ago we examined the Spirit of the Lord. Amen, which represents God's presence, the authority, and power. But today we are going to go deep into the Spirit of Life, the second ministry of the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of Life. So I want you to turn to Romans. Let's go to the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 2. We're going to begin there. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Romans 8:20. 8:2. It says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Amen. Hallelujah. And as we know, we are believers. We have been made new in Christ. We are new creatures, amen, in Christ Jesus, because now we have a new identity. If you said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you received the Lord as your Savior, Lord Jesus, you have a new identity. You and I, our identity today is in Christ Jesus. And our new identity is in our spiritual man, not the flesh. Amen. Likewise, an unbeliever might try to walk after Christ, but the truth is they will always be in the flesh when you walk after Christ until they put their faith in Christ alone. So right now, our faith is in Christ. We're not walking right after Christ. Christ now lives and resides in us. So our faith today is in Christ alone. Amen. And this scripture is also talking about the law of the Spirit of Life, right? And a law is something that is consistent, right? And universal, just like gravity, right? What holds the universe together is gravity. Amen. What holds the planets and the stars together, the waters together, is gravity. And gravity is what pulls together everything. Amen. So the life of the Spirit, right? The life the Spirit brings to the believer is consistent and universal, because it never fails to set believers free. Amen. Have you been set free since you received the Lord?
Yes.
Yes, we have. We have been set free totally. It's a one-time thing. Amen. So the Spirit of Life gives us the freedom to be set free. It gives us a new identity, which is in Christ Jesus. It brings the believer, right, to consistency in Christ. Amen. We are standing firm on God and what we know about God, because we stand on a firm foundation, which is the Word of God. Amen.
Amen.
So hallelujah, praise God for that, that we have been redeemed from the past, from that law that had us going straight to the pit of hell, the law of sin and death. We have been free from that. Now we have the Spirit of life. And this, there's a reality here, right? Because the reality is sin and death, you know, it produces, you know, it really, in the Old Testament, it really produced curse. It tells you, choose life or death. And if you choose death, you would be walking in your curses. But thank God we are free from that, because Jesus, the Lord Jesus, became the curse for us. And thank God for the freedom that we have today. But the reality is, there is that reality here, that not all Christians, right, that right. have been set free, because we just read in John 8:36 that who the Son sets free is free indeed, right? But not all Christians are experiencing the freedom because they are ignorant of what is rightfully theirs. Amen?
Amen.
Can you understand that? That yes. just because you receive Christ, just because, you know, you have a new identity, that should seal it for you. But not every believer, not every Christian is walking freely in the identity that they now have in Christ Jesus. They're not experiencing the freedom that has been afforded to them when the Lord Jesus died on that cross. They don't recognize that is what is rightfully theirs. When we were saved, we were also healed. We were delivered. We were restored. Amen. We have all the benefits of Christ Jesus that are listed in Psalm 103. Amen. So this verse right here, Romans 8:2, this verse brings people the good news. We have good news, right? That what we... what could not be done, right? What we couldn't do by human effort, right? Has been done through the power of the Holy Spirit. We couldn't do that. Amen? So we Christians, we are no longer slaves to the law of sin, church, and death. Because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. Because Amen. Christ has redeemed us from the curses of the law.
Yes.
And you know what the curse of the law did? It brought separation from God and it brought spiritual death. But praise God that we don't have to receive the wages of sin anymore, which is death. And not only have we been redeemed from the curses, but through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have the righteousness of the law fulfilled in us, so that the blessings of God are now ours.
Amen.
The blessings of God are now ours, church. So through Christ Jesus, we receive what we don't deserve, right? We have received what we don't deserve, and we don't receive what we do deserve. So in other words, we receive what we don't deserve, which is the blessings. Now we have it, even though we didn't deserve it, and we don't receive what we do deserve, which are the curses Amen. Of the law.
Yes.
Amen? You follow? Because we don't need to perform. We didn't need to earn it. It was freely given to us by Christ Jesus when he died on the cross. And that's yes. what the finished work of the cross means, that through the work of Jesus Christ, we have been set free. We're no longer in bondage, you know, with the law of sin and death, how it was in the Old Testament. We are now free, and we have now the Spirit of life, which is the Spirit of God, living in the inside of us. And that is, church, that is freedom. That is freedom. It is the Holy Spirit that is the giver of life. It is the Holy Spirit that regenerates the sinner. We're no longer sinner. We are now called saints. saints. It is the Holy Spirit that quickens us, the believer now. It is the Holy Spirit that revives the discouraged. It is the Holy Spirit that produces spiritual growth within us. He's the one that's guiding. He's the one that's assisting. He's the one that is helping. Amen. He's the one that made all your crooked roads straight. And my roads sometimes still get crooked, and He makes them straight. He brings me back into alignment. And that's what we want from the Holy Spirit. We want to be so in tune with Him that we recognize when He is aligning us and shifting. No, don't go that route. And the Holy Spirit even warns us of things yet to come. And that's why sometimes you feel that inner witness, that inner speaking of the Spirit of God is saying, don't turn now to the right. Even though GPS is telling you to make a right, keep going straight. Don't you find yourself sometimes that you just missed an exit? Well, there could be something that God was avoiding you from stumping you or something like that. Maybe danger even. Amen? But the Holy Spirit knows all things. And He's the revealer of all things. Amen? So we have the Spirit of life now as new creatures in Christ. Amen. Let's go deeper into the Word. Amen. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 9. And it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. In other words, you were justified by the Spirit of life, because God is life. God is love. We have been washed. We have been cleansed. We have been consecrated by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. And this is what Paul is saying here. Paul is placing an emphasis on the word here, were, in verse 11. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. He's placing such an emphasis here because he was contrasting, right, the previous condition of the Corinthians in this church with their current righteousness. Do you know that we are currently righteous? We have right standing with God right now. Do you know that the Corinthians were in current righteous position in Christ? So Paul was talking, and he mentioned here, talking about adultery. And obviously it was evident from his instructions from these verses that we just read that some of the Corinthian believers were having trouble in that area. Otherwise, he wouldn't have mentioned it. Correct? Yes. He also saw that other Corinthian Christians were not totally free from these ungodly actions that he just listed here. Otherwise, he wouldn't have mentioned it either. Yet, verse 11, he considers what Paul just mentioned. Now he considers these, right, the sins of these Christians, it doesn't make them Hallelujah. It really should not affect them because they are no longer sinners. They are saints in Christ Jesus. So the sins of Christians don't make them sinners anymore. Then the righteous acts of sinners make them righteous. Sin is a very deadly thing that even Christians should avoid at all costs, but it does not determine our right standing with the Lord. Because those who are born again, church, are not in the flesh, even though they walk after the flesh. You follow what I'm saying? In other words, when we got saved, church, when we got saved, and I think I'm going ahead of myself, when we got saved, right, our spirit was born again. Our spirit was reborn. It was made new. Amen?
That's right.
But your old habits, you still had them. Amen? So if you were a smoker, you're probably still smoking, but it's in the renewing of the mind. Once we get into the Word of God, once we truly know who we are in Christ, that we begin to change and the Word of God begins to transform us. But it doesn't determine, hallelujah, who you were back then, because now you have been washed, justified, consecrated, and purified by Jesus Christ, by the work of the cross. Amen. That's why, you know, you should not call yourself a sinner, because you're not. Now you are a saint, even though you may still sin. Can you follow me?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
So, again, the sins of Christians don't make them, hallelujah, sinners any more than the righteous acts of sinners make them righteous. It doesn't work that way. Amen. Once you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, He placed a robe, a garment of righteousness on you.
Amen.
And now you are rightly positioned, standing at the right hand of God with Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. What a position to have, to be sitting next to the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of God the Father. Amen?
Amen.
So your past life doesn't define your new identity in Christ. Your past failures, your past habits still do not define who you are in Christ Jesus. You are a new creation, born again, and what was born again was your spirit. Now you got to work on your soul. You got to work on your mind, your will, and emotions, and you got to begin to renew those with the Word of God. And once you begin to renew your mind, and your mind now aligns itself to the spirit, now the body has to follow what the spirit and the mind are doing together, which is walking in the spirit of life, which is walking in the spirit of the Lord, which is walking in true righteousness, walking in godly steps. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is what the blood of Christ, the shed blood of Christ did at the cross. It gave us a brand new spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Our spirit was dead, but it became alive. Alive. We're walking in with the living Word now. Our spirit is alive. It recognizes. It knows why. Because we have the Spirit of God living in the inside of us. We have discernment now. If you have the Spirit of God, you have discernment. You have position, and you are positioned in high places now. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You have access to everything. You are truly blessed. You're no longer a sinner. You're called saints. You're no longer loved, but now you are beloved by God the Father.
Amen.
Such a great difference. And when we know who we are in Christ, boy, I tell you, the minute the enemy tries to tempt you, say, not today, devil. Get away from me. That's right. When you know who you are in Christ, the Word of God automatically comes out of your mouth. Like Brother Mark said, it is written. And you know what? And when you begin to speak the Word of God, guess what? Even the angels that are assigned to you begin to walk in action on your behalf. Because they only follow the Word of God that is spoken by us. Amen?
Amen.
This is why we have an army. That's why it says the Lord is for you, never against you. Because the Lord has a whole army with us. Amen? That is
Amen.
For us. The angels are for us. All we got to do is speak the Word of God. And the spirit of life is seen in the Bible in so many different ways. And I want to begin now in Genesis 2:7. I just wanted to give you a little meat, I guess, into this. Amen. But let's go to Genesis 2:7, the beginning of the book. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Amen.
Amen.
So, church, Adam received the spirit of life. So when God formed or molded Adam, right? He became a living soul. And that only happened when God breathed, right? Into his nostrils. God's breath entered Adam. And there life began. Amen. So likewise, churches become alive when the Spirit of God breathes upon them. Amen? Man, when the Spirit of the Lord, there's just so much living going on in the church. When the presence of God is in the house, there's so much happening. There's so much worship. There's so much adoration. Because the presence of God gives you life. It's like you're breathing life in and breathing life out. You're breathing in, you're breathing out. So God's breath gave us life. Amen. He blew his spirit unto us and created our spirit. Amen. And God is a spirit. He put himself, right, inside each and every one of us who said yes to him. Right?
Amen.
It is the spirit that gives us life. The spirit gave life to the soul of men, like we just read here. There is a difference between the soul and spirit of man.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Since the fall, all people have been born with spirits that were dead in trespasses and sin. And that's why the Lord Jesus said that we must be born again. When we are born again, our nature changes, right? And starts influencing our souls toward God. Amen. Remember what I said. When we are born again, our spirit is revived, right? Our spirit is born again. So now, right here, our soul, our mind begins to be influenced by the Spirit of God. Because we want to walk towards godliness. We want to walk towards God. Amen.
Yes. Yes.
But here, this is what happens here, right? Genesis 2:17, go to 2:17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, that you eat of it, you shall surely die, right? So,
yes. For
Adam, right, it is the spirit of life that was lost in the Garden of Eden when he disobeyed. And it was lost also for Eve. Remember, Eve was born out of Adam. Amen. But life was in Adam. Okay? Eve was born out of him, right? But the spirit of life, right, was lost when Adam and Eve disobeyed in the Garden of Eden. So you see, Adam and Eve didn't die physically, right? The day that they ate of the forbidden fruit, right? Adam lived to be 930 years old. And you can find that, I believe, in Genesis 5:5. But Adam and Eve did die spiritually the instant that they disobeyed God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And if through disobedience they died instantly, right? Spiritually, what does that tell you today? That we even though we have the Spirit of God, but when we disobey, we kind of disconnect ourselves from God when we disobey, right?
Yes.
And the reality in is evidenced by the actions of Adam and Eve and their words. Because if you remember from Scripture, they immediately came into fear and ran from the Lord.
Yes.
That the Lord even began to say, Adam, where are you? Eve, where are you? Right? But they were right. They became so afraid because now they were spiritually dead. That brought separation. You see the separation? That brought fear. That brought separation. And they began to run away from God. Amen? That's why, you know, that's why I said before, it's so important for us to know that when we were born again, that's it. It is a done deal. But the minute we detach from relationship with God, from intimacy with God, when we disobey God, we kind of pull ourselves away from God.
Yes.
And we choose to do that. We do that because of fear. We do that because of shame. We do that because of maybe condemnation and guilt. Yes. But let me tell you something. When we receive the Spirit of life, when we receive a new birth, all that is gone. We're living in the New Testament now. That is already under the blood. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Let's go deeper into that word. Amen. Again, because I said before that many Christians, even though they are free, and who the Son sets free indeed, they are still walking in bondage this day. Amen. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So you see, we receive at the new birth, when we are born again, we receive the Spirit of life, the Spirit of life. So prior to salvation, church, a lost person like we were lost. We were confused. We had a dead spirit, right? And it didn't matter whether, you know, whether you were very prosperous or very influential in the world or even in your flesh, right? The spirit is dead and is separated from God because that's what happened, right? We were separated from God. Our relationship with God had already been severed by Adam's disobedience, right? But Jesus, right? For the Lord Jesus came, and he said, What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, right? So it doesn't matter. Wealth doesn't matter. Influence, you know, having great influence doesn't matter if Christ is not your priority. If Christ is not in you, what are you gaining? What are you gaining? Amen? So upon salvation, there is a total change that takes place. Not in the flesh or in our soul, but in the spirit. In the spirit man. And that person becomes totally new. In the spirit. And again, we're not speaking about the physical body. Let me tell you something. If you were tall before you were born again, you're still tall after you receive Christ. If you were skinny before you were born again, you're still skinny after. If you were pleasantly plump, as I call it, as I call myself, pleasantly plump, you're still the same after you're saved. That didn't change. You don't instantly change and old things become new, right? Because right. There's got to be a renewing. There's got to, you gotta do your part now. Yeah. God already did what he needed to do on the cross. But now there's got to be a renewing, right? So this is not just speaking about the soul. You know, if let's say, for example, if you were looking at a wall and it was white, but you said it's black, after you're saved, you're still going to think the same way. Until you begin to renew your mind and see, oh yeah, it is white. Because the word, what it does, it brings illumination. It brings revelation. It brings understanding. It brings knowledge. You become, hallelujah, smarter now as a born-again believer. Yes, wiser, right? So at salvation, yes, our spirits are born again. And they become totally new and identical, listen, identical to Christ Jesus. Because the Spirit of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts. Amen. That's what the word says. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but through Christ, we have become dead to sin. And that's a beautiful swap right there. We are no longer, amen, we're no longer dominated by the sins of this world. We're no longer tempted by the sins of this world and go through and follow through with sin because we can say no now to that temptation. We don't have to go through with it. Amen. We have a brand new born-again spirit that helps us to say no to Satan. Amen. We have a brand new spirit in us. Hallelujah. That helps us in our everyday walk and everyday life. Amen. So the Spirit of Life, church, through it we have received as born again believers, gives us a spirit that is totally new and dead to sin. We are dead to sin. Period. Now our physical bodies and souls are still, right, are still capable of sin. But in our new spirits, right, we are identical to Jesus Christ. And I mentioned this 2 weeks ago, that the Word of God says this in 1 John 4:17, that as Christ is, so are we in this world. Amen? So the same Spirit that raised the Lord Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that we have. The same Holy Spirit that he walked with is the same Spirit that we have today. We are identical to Christ right now. Amen. Our new spirits, our new man, if you want to call it that word, were created in righteousness and true holiness. Then we were sealed with the Holy Spirit. So therefore, a born-again person cannot sin in their spirit. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
I just want to make sure you're following everything that I'm saying. Amen. We are born again believers when we receive Christ Jesus in our hearts. Amen. We're no longer dominated by the world. Amen. The Word of God says, do not be conformed to the world, right? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed to the image of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
With the Word. It's the Word. It's the Word of God that begins to renew and transform our minds and align them to the Spirit of God. Amen. And it's something that we have to intentionally do every single day. We must renew our minds because the enemy is constantly coming at us, trying to deceive us, lie to us, so we can fall into sin and remain in sin. remain in the sinful ways that only bring spiritual death to us. No. And we cannot allow that. Amen. Let's go to the Gospel of John 15:5. I believe we read this in the past, but like I said 2 weeks ago, God is just teaching us and illuminating us throughout these teachings. Amen. Bringing additional revelation. But the Gospel of John 15:5 says, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." Amen. So here we have in this gospel, in this verse, the spirit of life allows us to produce fruit. Amen. And life is growth when we abide in God. Right? So when we are in God, everything in our lives should be prospering. We should be witnessing the fruit of the Spirit every single day. Right? From a vine, right, we look for grace, but from a Christian, we look for a Christian's temper, disposition, and life. Meaning, how fruitful is this believer right now? Amen. Because if you are in Christ Jesus, if you are a born-again believer, you should be walking in the fruit of the Spirit. So you should be prospering every day. Amen. Just like in a vine, we see the grapes in a vineyard. We see the vines producing all these grapes, so much fruit, right? Well, in a Christian life, we should be looking and we should be witnessing the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Which is love, kindness, prosperity, faithfulness, discipline, and all these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You follow what I'm saying? There's got to be fruit evident in a believer's life. And not only that, a Christian also, part of that fruit is honoring God and doing good. And that is called bearing fruit. We want to bear fruit. We're believers. You know, we have a magnifying glass upon us right now. Look at so many. There's so much going on. There's so much exposure right now. So many. There's been so many posts, even on Facebook, right, of ministers and pastors, right? You know, right now things are being exposed. Things that they did in the past. Things that are they doing in the present, so much corruption, financial gain, manipulating people from the pulpit to pay tithes, to pay donations when the word doesn't say to pay. It just says give generously, right, unto the church. Amen. Hallelujah. So, you know, there's so much exposure, but the word of God says by their fruit you shall know them. Amen.
Yes.
And that doesn't mean that we, you know, that every minister, pastor, believer, you know, is commanded to walk in perfection. No, because we're not perfect. We're going to reach perfection when we arrive and be with the Lord. But until now, our job, really, as believers, is to walk towards holiness, is to walk in Christ's holiness. To walk towards perfection, because we're not perfect, but the one who lives in us is perfect.
Is perfect.
Amen. So this is why, you know, next week we're going to talk about sanctification, which is, you know, the word of God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." Right.
Sure.
So that means that we can walk in holiness because the Lord Jesus is residing in us and abiding in us. So here we have, you know, and this is so true, that God is the vine and we are the branches.
Amen.
And when we're connected to the vine, guess what happens? We are producing
fruit.
We are bearing fruit. And others can see the fruit that we are producing on a daily basis. Again, there's a magnifying glass because there's so many Christians right now being persecuted and being criticized, being judged because of other Christians' actions. And that's the reality. They put all Christians in a box when not all Christians are walking the way that some other are. Yeah. Amen. So, you know, again, we as Christians, we want to bear fruit. We have the Spirit of life living in us, and the same Spirit of life that raised the Lord from the dead now lives in the inside of us. And that's the reality, church. And that's the reality that you have to come to know and really digest in yourself. The same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead is living in the inside of us. And that means that if our dreams are dead, guess what? They can live again.
Amen.
If our faith is dead, guess what? It can live again.
Mm-hmm.
If our ministry is dead, guess what? They can live again. That's what this is saying. Amen. So in closing, church, you know, we have a Spirit of life that's given us the ability and to live every day in Christ Jesus, to live and walk in joy, to live in His strength, to live in the victory that He already conquered at the cross. We have a born-again spirit, church. And that spirit is walking in total freedom right now. We're no longer out there living in the world. No, we have been transformed. Our minds are being renewed every day by the Word of God. And that Word is continually washing us, consecrating us, purifying us. Amen.
Amen.
And know that you have already been justified. Amen.
Amen.
In Christ.
Amen.
That robe of garment of righteousness is on you. You have right standing with Christ Jesus. Amen. What an honor and privilege to be seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father right now.
Amen. Yes.
So, church, what seems to be dead in your life today? Answer that question. What seems to be dead? Because the Spirit of life specializes in resurrection power of God. Amen. So what is dead can live again. Just like dry bones, they can live again in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be blessed, church. I pray that you learned something from this teaching today, that you are not the same. You are born again. Amen. Your past doesn't define who you are. It is your identity in Christ that defines you and I today. We have the Spirit of life. Amen. And if we have the Spirit of life and we're connected to the vine, we can produce great fruit every single day. So keep growing. Keep growing in the things of God and keep prospering because you are already victorious in Christ Jesus. Amen.